These Levi's are brand new. There's a fucking hole in them.
That's the intro. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 25 of the Tottenham Way Podcast. I'm Tom and I'm your host. With me, as ever, is Dan Kilpatrick. Hi, mate.
Hello, mate.
In your bedroom.
In my bedroom.
Usually
we're slightly weird about it.
Usually we have to do it in one of your roommates' bedrooms, but that's situation's completely changed, isn't it?
Got a new place.
And so we've been upgraded to your bedroom.
I've got the master bedroom now.
More importantly, the studio wasn't actually available, so that's why we're recording in Dan's room. That's probably why there's a little bit of a sound dip, and it's just probably not quite as good quality for the sound wise, but the content is going to be top notch.
Going to be better, if anything.
Do you know why?
I am at home, so I feel at home.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah,
like a footballer, you need to feel wanted and loved.
Playing home tonight.
Yeah, you are. But playing away is myself and, well, that sounds bad, but Alex Brown. Welcome back, Alex.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Not at all, you're right. How are you doing?
Yeah,
it's
I'm
been a while
right.
since we've had you on, I think, isn't it? It was like right at the start of the season the last time that you were on.
Yeah, when I was so full of hope and optimism.
It's amazing what one defeat can do, Alex. Maybe it's part of the reason why you might be sort of maybe a bit downcast is that you do quite a lot of late nights. Because we've spoken before about you doing Court News UK.
Yeah.
But you do TalkSport show, don't you, as well?
Occasionally. I'm a monthly guest on a late night show on TalkSport on Fridays.
How did this... Why haven't you... I can only presume that because me and Dan are so busy in the day with our jobs, the call's not come, Dan, but...
I was looking forward to going to the studio and seeing if it was more professional than TalkSport, and then we've ended up in Dan's bedroom. So that's...
Yeah, on patio furniture.
Don't have a sofa yet.
Is it an all football thing?
No,
I mean I'm not being funny. It's at 3 a.m. I'm not going to be able to.
Well, it's one till six. So you could have.
That's a long time though to be
5 hours in the middle of the night and you've got to talk.
Yeah, but there's some like pre-recorded stuff that he does.
Who's
on Tom Latcham, who is the host of the show. I used to produce his radio show for FUBAR Radio. And then, you know, he kept doing that, got a gig at TalkSport, and then by...
Does he do that every night?
Just Fridays.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a journalist, he used to work for News of the World.
Mm.
That's a moment to remember it. and then, now does the show, so he just, you know, occasionally asks me, I'll come on and talk about, you know, go through the papers, talk about whatever's been in the news, whatever topics he's come up with.
That is a pretty amazing gig.
Do like a football preview.
This is reminding me of the Mid-Morning Matters. When Partridge fills in. You seen when Partridge fills in on like, the serious North Norfolk show?
Yeah.
And he does the papers.
Yeah. And it's yesterday.
He's been in since like 4 a.m. He's done yesterday.
Yeah. Anything like that? Are you football's answer to Alan Partridge? I mean that in the nicest possible way.
I mean, I don't think
that's
so.
That's Richard Keys, isn't it? Football's answer to Alan Partridge.
Oh, have you seen the video where he shows them around his house?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Dubai or Qatar.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that video, you have to seek it out.
Yeah.
He's got like a tiny phone box in his house. he just points at it like Brent pointing at a monkey. Like, see? Still thinking of England.
Oh, God.
But that's kind of half funny, half a little bit depressing because you're like, how has this guy landed on his feet? I mean, that house reeks of sadness, but at the same time, you're like, fair enough. It's a massive house.
Yeah. My house is small and reeks of sadness, so...
I mean, this flat has quite an element of sadness in it, but I like to think that's because I've just moved in.
You've only just moved in. There's no sofa, but there's sadness. When sofa arrives, the sadness will be replaced.
Correct.
What can replace the sadness of being a Spurs fan? Because at the moment, it does feel a little bit sad, doesn't it?
At the moment, Tottenham is second in the table.
Yeah, that's true. That's a nice way to start that, because it always is a bit doomy.
I mean, my I've been on Twitter today, as usual. Tweeted a few Loris quotes first thing this morning that he gave to French radio that were quite strong. Tweeted some Pochettino quotes from Monday's newspapers that were quite good. And the whole rest of the day, you know, just kind of a trickle of replies. and they've all been really negative and really like, oh yeah, no wonder when you ditch the cup competitions and have gone for a futile title bid. Oh, Lloris, you need to shut up and behave more like a captain. It's like, some perspective is needed here. It's a really good thing that everyone's disappointed that Spurs aren't going to win the title.
Mm.
But a couple of years ago, fifth or sixth was disappointing, but where we felt like we belonged in a way. Now second's disappointing, and that's progress. That's a good thing on the whole, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a fair enough point.
I think it's just more frustrating because we know how good this team can be. After you know, after beating Chelsea, after coming back against City, beating City at home, and the consistency of last year, we showed that we could compete. And I think our first 11 is superb. But I mean it is reactionary, isn't it? You know, everyone hates Liverpool. You lose to Liverpool. We're now back in the mix, fighting for top four. We're 2 points ahead of United, who've been quietly winning every week for a long time.
Yeah, was it 8 points that we had over them? I'm not, obviously, at some point, yes, probably did, but I think it was at Christmas we had quite a big gap. And now that's been eaten away pretty quickly since the Chelsea game.
It's 2 points now.
It's 2 points between, what, five teams now? So behind Chelsea, who are just going to run away with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, Spurs have been dragged into a battle for fourth, which a few weeks ago, particularly after the Chelsea win, didn't seem very likely, and I got a bit complacent. I think a lot of Spurs fans got a bit complacent and thought, well, we're going for the title now, we're looking up the table. And that's actually what Pochettino said before the Liverpool game. He said, I'm not looking over my shoulder, I'm looking up. But in stark contrast, what Lloris has said in Monday's paper, in the Standard, was that he's now worried about the teams behind us.
Where do you see that falling then with Poch? Is that a bit naive of him to get caught up like a fan after a win like Chelsea? And because we were awesome, but is that maybe something that Poch is still learning to sort of, not so much pick your moments, but you know what?
You can't be a manager of a team in second place and not be looking up.
Yeah, of course.
You just can't. There's absolutely no way he could have said anything but we want to win the title, because he does want to win the title. So I think he's just being honest. He wasn't, a few weeks ago, he wasn't looking over his shoulder. Spurs had the title in mind. Now, as I said, they do seem to have been dragged into a battle for fourth, which could be bloody and nobody wants it. But
we've only got two games left against those other five teams, I think, as well, haven't we? And they're both at home, and I think they're both right at the end of the season with Arsenal and United. So it's going to be significant. That time in between could be quite significant, and it's, if we are only capable of beating the dross, then we actually really have to do it now. We have to build that cushion again, don't we?
Should he not continue to be talking about it anyway? He's trying to change the mentality of a club that hasn't won anything in a very long time. Last year, when they stopped competing for the league and that was gone, they just couldn't be bothered. Even finishing above Arsenal wasn't motivating to them. These are young players, and he's trying to create that winning mentality. So even if they fall short, we pushed them last season.
I think, to be fair, he hasn't said he's looking over his shoulder. That was Lloris. And actually what he said was exactly what you just said, that he's trying to create a winning mentality and that Chelsea still already have that mentality, which is fair enough. I mean, I looked at the Chelsea team that started against Burnley, not to mention the squad, and six of them won the title under Mourinho 2 years ago. Kante came in as a champion. Then there's Luiz and Pedro, who haven't won the Premier League title but have won both won the Champions League and countless European titles. The only slightly kind of random player in there is Victor Moses. And then you look at Spurs, and not a single one of them has won the Premier League title. The only player that's won one of Europe's top five leagues.
Let me ask you this then. Are we, for lack of a better term, imposters?
Well, again, look, what Pochettino said today is that Spurs deserve credit because they're fighting for the title with different tools to the other teams, which is a nice expression. Again,
sometimes when you watch some of them, I do think tool as well. But we'll get on to them.
I had to look up some other stats today, and Spurs' net spend is over 5 years is 1 million. Man City's is 430 million.
Yeah, it's all caveats. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's not even comparable. But Spurs are ahead of Man City in the table and finished ahead of Man City last year.
All true, but the other stats is that we've only won once in the last 17 games against those other five clubs, away from home. Sorry, we've got quite a few at City last year, and I don't think we've got, under Poch, I think that's the only big team that we have beaten away from home. We've not beaten Arsenal, we've not beaten Chelsea, we've not beaten Liverpool, and we've not beaten United.
Yeah, I think that's part of the frustration of Saturday, isn't it? That Spurs needed that big away statement win, and last year at this time of year on Valentine's Day, Spurs beat City and got that big statement win, and that was the point where City were out of the title race and everyone started saying, well, actually Spurs could win this, and it would have been the same at Anfield. If we'd have won, Spurs would have been genuine contenders and everyone would have gone okay, and Liverpool would have been completely out of it and scrapping down for fourth. But yeah, so it's just doubly frustrating that it didn't happen.
It is, but I don't think you should be, or you shouldn't expect to beat the bigger teams away from home. Mourinho wins the league by always drawing in the games away from home. Against the big teams, you draw away from home, you beat them at home if you can, and then you smash everyone else. Mourinho's done that for years. I know it's frustrating, but Anfield is a very difficult place to go. They've got some very, very good players.
Well, true.
And I know, but you know, winning at the Etihad was amazing, and it was certainly a statement. But they're a very different team. I wouldn't have looked at Tottenham and thought this is a team that can come from two down at Man City with all the talent they have, even if they're questionable. They've still got Guardiola. They still have all those exceptional players. I think we're asking quite a lot. Mm. When we've beaten Chelsea and Man City at home this season, we've stopped... I mean, he's still not lost to Wenger in the league. This is a team that is good in the big games. They're not getting beat. They're just... Well, aside from
probably
Liverpool, but
not from Man U, Chelsea and Liverpool.
Well, Chelsea, we went awful, I don't think. But United, we were really... Yeah, we lost, but we weren't... Were you talking performance or result? Sorry.
Alex said we weren't getting beat.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly gone down, though.
Well, look, let me caveat the point that I made about only one win in the last 17. In fact, the team out of those six that have got the most wins away from home against other top six teams is Liverpool, with six. So six out of 17 isn't great. It's a home team kind of top six, isn't it? But it's where you pick up those points here and there. But for the manner of the defeat at Anfield was that I'm all for us going to places and trying to attack and be on the front foot. But from minute one, the high line, I have to admit, I listened on the radio to this game, which is a very horrible experience. And I don't recommend anyone to do it. But I watched the highlights later. We played a high line against...
Well done.
Well done for...
Watching the game.
Well, you know, I like to put the minutes in. We played a very high line against a team that could very easily exploit it. In a way, do you remember when we lost like 5-1 or 5-0 to Liverpool at home, right at the end of AVB, and we played a line that was practically past the halfway line against Suarez, Sterling and... Sturridge, I think.
And it was...
Certainly not anywhere near.
Dawson, Walker and...
Norton.
Fryers,
yes, yeah.
Was it Norton starting and Fryers came on at half-time?
I think Norton cried off, didn't he? In the first half, thinking about it. Yeah, look, dark days. Darker days, certainly, than what we're dealing with here. But, you know, maybe it's... I think the problem is that the whole rhetoric around us at the moment is that we've changed. We're not that Spurs anymore. When in reality the stats are showing us that, you know, maybe we are one win at the Emirates in, well, however long, like, you know, away at Arsenal in 20 years, one win away at Chelsea in 30 years, one win in 23 games at Anfield in the league. Old Trafford, we've got a couple of, you know, I'm still very positive about us, but these are definitely things that are worth pointing out.
I think the manner of the defeat at Liverpool was, again, just doubly frustrating. Not the fact that Spurs lost to Liverpool, because, as Alex says, it's really difficult to go there and they're still one of the best teams in the Premier League. It is the fact that Pochettino just seems to get it so badly wrong. And it's the fact that, again, a lot of the rhetoric this whole season has been about Spurs having a stronger squad now and learning from last season. And I just don't think that's particularly true. Mm. I mean, Davis and Dyer were the stand-ins from the best 11 at Anfield, and they were the poorest well, I mean, they were among the poorest, and certainly Davis was not given a lot of help, but he was badly exposed.
Do you see any reason why Dyer was put on the left of the two at the back?
I'm not sure. Think about it. It seemed like an odd decision because it made that whole side doubly weak.
And in the first half an hour, 50% of Liverpool's play, horrible stats, I don't like these ones, but 50% of Liverpool's play came down on the right-hand side on our left. So you just thought, Toby next to anyone looks, or makes anyone better next to him.
So it was an odd decision, definitely, and actually one I haven't given that much thought to. What's happened in the games against the top six is that Spurs have almost in every one, apart from at United, where they lost anyway, in almost every one they've been missing a couple of really key players. So Rose wasn't there at Chelsea, and I think nor was Alderweireld. Ali didn't play against Arsenal, and nor did Alderweireld.
Yeah.
At City, Vertonghen didn't play, and did Rose play at City?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So, and at Anfield, Rose and Vertonghen didn't play. So, what's clear, I think, is that Spurs have the best, or one of the best, first 11s in the Premier League, who are going to be able to beat anyone. But as soon as you take out even just one piece of that jigsaw, it's so much weaker, and they almost become as weak as the weakest link. And if that's Davis, then it's pretty weak. If that's Dyer at centre-back, then it's pretty weak.
Mm.
And that's the problem.
I think you could kind of see that in Danny Rose's absence. When Danny plays, because he gets forward and he's so quick, he creates space for Dele. Playing in that kind of the two role that him and Eriksen both kind of play behind Kane. That he creates space just by virtue of him being, the magnificent bastard that he is. Without him, Ali just was wandering around without, quite aimlessly. I don't think he didn't really do anything. And none of the attacking players did. We were because we were so high, and then they just forced us back and got through us so quickly. We were never building up or pressing them. We were never getting the fullbacks beyond them, which is usually where all of our width and our threat comes from. There isn't a lot of pace beyond our fullbacks. Eriksen and Dele, Dele's really athletic, but he's not lightning fast, dribbling around loads of players.
Mm.
And so if you haven't got those wingers creating that space and pushing on, you've just got some very technical but quite slow players dealing with a rapid and fluid Liverpool side running riot. So the loss of Rose is massive, but it's not just that, it's that Davies doesn't work in the system. So the whole thing goes. We can't play the back three, which has worked so well in the big games.
That's really, really... I've used this word 1,000 times already, but that's really frustrating.
Yeah, makes me angry that we've only been able to play that system with our best players in, what, 2.5 also, games?
I feel like Posh needs to have a bit more faith in it. I think he's not been blameless in this bad form away at the top six. I think he's been outwitted by Mourinho, Guardiola and Klopp
at their places. The Chelsea guy.
I wouldn't have said the 2-1 at Chelsea, Conte really outwitted him. I think, as you said earlier, Spurs played quite well in that game and maybe just ran out of steam, and Chelsea were just on such a roll. But I think at United, Mourinho pushed Mkhitaryan, and I think it was Martial or Rashford on the other flank, it was really high up. Rose and Walker were completely out of the game. Spurs looked pedestrian and technical, but not much else. As Alex says, United won. City, Guardiola really took him by surprise, both with the pressing, attacking lineup. City should have won comfortably. And Liverpool, he hasn't seemed to have learnt from the previous games against Liverpool. And in hindsight, that high line was suicidal. And Klopp and his players just took full advantage and knew what they were doing. So he's not blameless, and it's a bit of a shame that he hasn't found a way. I appreciate maybe the personnel haven't been there without Vertonghen and Rose, but he really lost faith in that three at the back pretty quickly within, 25 minutes of City?
Yeah.
It's been gone ever since.
Yeah. Well, I think it was more losing faith in Wimmer. We don't need to rake off over...
Yeah, but Rose, you like to think he might have... I don't know. It's what he's paid to do, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Yeah. Very true.
In all those games, though, it was an individual error that caused us to concede. Against City, they were both Hugo Lloris mistakes. Yeah. Against United, it was Harry Kane passing the ball, well, doing a through ball to Mkhitaryan. And then it was Alderweireld stepping up when he shouldn't have done in the line against Liverpool. And then it was Eric Dier losing it with two players on him. Mm. So despite which, you know, you can either say, oh, they're just mistakes, or it can be a lack of concentration and mentality, or perhaps players playing in a system they're not quite so familiar with, so they're more inclined to make a mistake.
Mm. I do agree, but certainly against Liverpool and City, the mistakes were almost immaterial because there was pressure and there were chances. Mm. Anyway, you sort of mean it was.
If we'd have come out of them with any more than a point at City, we'd have completely shit-housed them.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. You mentioned the Lloris quotes, but Poch, straight after the game, said in the first 45 minutes you saw a team that is not ready to fight for the Premier League. And that, I get that we've just lost, and I get that we've just lost to a direct rival, but that's really quite, what's the word, like damning and definitive of it. Like, it's not like, usually the line, you know, we're a young team, we are still learning, we're not mathematically out of it, you know, the old platitude sort of thing. But that's quite, I thought that was quite damning from someone like Poch, and he's clearly pissed off. And I suppose we don't lose that often, so when it does happen, I mean, I think of all the losses that we've had in the last two seasons, when we had that loss against Newcastle at home, or both of them, when he wanted to kill his players and himself, apparently. The United game, this really unhappy and grumpy almost with it. He kind of does reflect a fan. Is he, this fight and desire, is they're words that we now associate with Tottenham. Well, we certainly over the last couple of years, we've said, you know, this team doesn't give up. They've got the desire, they've got hunger. But really, what are we lacking here then? Is it purely just that one player that can be kind of that world-class attacking player, Hazard or Ibrahimovic or any one of City's main players? Do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. I think it's a couple of things. The squad, as I said before, what's become clear over the last 18 months is that you can win the league with 13 players if you don't have anything else to worry about. If you're not in Europe, you can win the league with 13 players. And actually, I said a while ago, you might find this new kind of trend emerging in the Premier League. It was previously, about 10 years ago, it used to be everyone got in the Champions League and then you got all the money and then you got back in the Champions League. So that's when you had the Big Four era and it was the same teams in it every year. Now you might find there's a new trend where four teams get in the Champions League, one team gets Europa League and one of those six clubs misses out.
And then the
one that misses out suddenly is best place to win the league. Because they don't need to worry about having 18 or 19 great players. They need 13 or 14 really
so
good
Poch
players.
So Poch is sabotaging this season to finish sixth.
I'm not saying that. They could just win the league at Wembley.
Yeah, absolutely. Doable. Double at Wembley.
Why not?
Yeah.
But you see what I mean? There could almost be a new cycle where that becomes the case. And Spurs just don't have a good enough squad. And I think even the first 11, who are on their day the best team in the league, I think, they're not winners yet. And that's what Poch is right. They're not Premier League winners. There's not six of them who won the title 2 years ago, like at Chelsea. But then, you know, again, people were slating Poch on Twitter today, on my timeline, saying, oh, you know, then he needs to go and buy some winners, and I get that, but you know, no player started their career as a multiple Premier League winner, or you know, with that mentality. You have to grow it, and that's what he's trying to do. I'm sure now he wants to get a cup, Europa League or FA Cup. I'm sure he wants to be in a title race, because then all these experiences make the players stronger. Guys like Ali and Dier and Kane, and that's what he wants to do.
It is easy to forget that Ali's 21.
20.
20, yeah. I do forget that a lot. And even like Dier's not old, and really, our elder players are what? Alderweireld, Loris, goalkeeper, so it doesn't really count. But like
The Tongan.
Who's not in there.
Outfield.
Yeah.
Dembele is 29, 30. Wanyama, you'd probably call one of the elders. But other than that, they've all not exactly got extensive history of even
there's
like
a lot of players. There's a lot of players about 25, 26.
Mm.
Rose, Walker, Wanyama, Eriksson, who should be coming into their prime, and that's when they'll be thinking about winning titles.
Yeah, fair enough. Any last words on Anfield? It's not really much more to say, is there? It's like, just a bit gutting.
I just hate them so much. They're a horrible, horrible football team. They are Arsenal fan TV in real life. They're just abhorrent. I will never forget the Suarez shirts they wore supporting him after he used the words that he did. We always finished above them. I mean, they finished above us once in the past 9 years.
This is what I was going to say. You know, we've finished above every team except Arsenal in the last 10 years. Every team in the league. So, but we're not beating them when we do play them. Like, what? I can't marry these things up. Are we just that good? Are we just that good at beating the shite? Is it just that?
Poch's Tottenham are good at beating the shite. They're really good at, they're really good at getting the job done. I mean, the Middlesbrough game was a lot where Spurs probed and probed and then finally sort of found a deserved opening. Was, I think, a lot more typical than the Sunderland game where Spurs weren't really at their best and didn't find an opening.
Yeah.
So I think they normally spank them, like Stoke.
Yeah.
Or they just get the job done, like Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
So it's a bit, they're good doing that.
I don't mean this as much of a bad thing as it might sound, but it's quite Yol in a way. Yol used to do it. Even Redknapp used to do it. We'd beat all of the shite, but we'd have those dodgy results every so often. We don't seem to have as many of those 1-0 at home to Wolves anymore.
We don't have any, do we? I mean, Newcastle.
Yeah, aside. I suppose. But it is that big team thing. It's that we've said it a few times on this pod. It's that final hurdle, I suppose. Do you think the title's over?
Yeah.
Alex?
Realistically, yes, but they didn't beat Burnley and Chelsea weren't very good against Burnley, and I think if David Luiz got injured, they don't have the personnel to play that system. So I think that is definitely a weak link. And
Ake could fill in, couldn't he?
It's not the same though in a back three. I mean, there's a difference between marshalling Bournemouth getting beat 3-0 every week to marshalling Chelsea. I don't think he's anywhere near the level that David Luiz has been. So realistically, yes, but you never know what could happen. I would like to think that we'll see when Spurs have dropped points or had a performance like this, we have generally seen a response from them. And I think Poch's words will hurt the players and motivate them along with Hugo's. So I think that Spurs will get better as a result of this and will learn from this. I don't think we will, but everyone's dropped points. 6 weeks ago, we were 7 points behind Liverpool. We went massively ahead of them. And all that took was Mane coming out the side. All it takes is one big name from one of the bigger teams. True.
It's a fair point. Well, doing Liverpool then.
Yeah. Half the reason why I asked that question as well is because by the time we were out of the title race last season, was obviously beginning of May, we were already out of all cups and we'd put all our eggs in the league basket. It's mid-February, is it 12 points behind Chelsea now?
No, 10, because 10? They drew with Burnley.
Yeah, of course, sorry, yeah. So we're 10 points behind Chelsea, who have been steamrolling in most of the league. We have got an opportunity now to reassess quite early in the season. We're two-thirds of the way through. Europe's about to start again. We've got Fulham on Saturday, which we'll come on to. We've got an opportunity here to go, right. And I know, Dan, you say it all the time, Poch is a league manager. But Poch is a league manager when he's like got that title to go for. And just going with the quotes as well, he was saying, you know, that didn't look like a title-winning team. Could go both ways. He's either trying to spur a reaction out of them, or do you think there's a chance? We've got Ghent on Thursday, which is what we'll talk about now, Fulham on Saturday, and then we've got the second leg on Thursday before Stoke at home next week. Is there a chance that Poch is going to look at this and go, I've got an opportunity to play some first teamers in all three of those games, let's fucking go for it?
Yeah, I think he might have played a stronger team than he would have if Spurs had beat Liverpool, definitely. That's what you're asking.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think so. Lloris was good on that again. He more or less said, if you want to create this winning mentality, we've got to go and win something and win the Europa League. And I think, you know, Poch has acknowledged that as well by saying Chelsea have that mentality and we're trying to grow it. And I do think a cup would help. It's difficult because I just imagine that Poch's remit from Levy is still to get, you know, they have to get in the Champions League. And actually, if you were 9 points behind Chelsea, but the other teams were, there's a bit of a cushion to the other teams, then you might even be in an even stronger position to say, well, we're not going to win the title, but we're not going to slip out of the top four, so let's go for these.
Do you think we have to get top four? Saying that Levy was putting, I think we're under probably less pressure than any other team in that top six to get it.
I think Spurs are under a lot of pressure to get it. More so than the other teams. Yeah,
I think we're under more pressure as well.
Spurs have got a stadium, new stadium to fund, and they've got to convince.
Yeah, but we've been funding that stadium for years. We've only won half of a season.
Yeah, but it massively helps having Champions League football.
Yeah, of course, but I don't.
We haven't got the financial clout to attract players. I mean, we saw with Mane, I know that his agent said that it wasn't about the money, but we don't pay the same amount of money that other teams do.
No, we're near.
If we're not offering Champions League football, and teams that, you know, if another team's finished above us, ended in Champions League, a player's going to go, well, I can earn a third more there, and I'm playing in Champions League.
But how much did it really help us this summer?
I think it's really, really important. I mean, even teams like Everton could offer, and West Ham, we know, could actually offer twice as much money as Spurs could, and if Spurs haven't got Champions League football, players aren't going to come.
Did it really help us this summer?
But we recruited badly this summer.
Well, what's to say that another Champions League season might do the same? Yeah, of course. I'm being devil's avocado here.
I think it makes a huge difference. You can see Man U didn't have any Europe, or what did they have? Europa League football, and they bought the most expensive player in the world. It doesn't matter for them. They've got a lot of money, and they bought Ibrahimovic. They attracted him to the club without any Champions League football, even though it might be one of the last seasons of his career, because they can pay him a fuckload of money. Spurs can't do that, and also they need to convince Lloris, Ali, Dier, Rose, Walker, Kane that they need to stay, and Champions League football is going to be a big help. So I think Poch is under pressure to get that. And he knows it.
Okay.
But I do imagine it's quite nice having these three cup games in a row, because he can go quite strong for the Ghent first leg, can't he?
All three of them. Well, maybe the only one is
he can go fairly strong, and then you'd like to think maybe Spurs have got, you know, maybe Spurs can get a 2-goal advantage in Belgium on Thursday, and then he doesn't have to go as strong in the second leg at home, and you'd like to think the Stoke game after that, maybe, you know, maybe it becomes easier for him. So, I think he's in an okay position, and hopefully Vertonghen will be back for Stoke as well.
Oh, so is that muted?
I don't know. I'm going to Belgium on Wednesday.
We still can't really play five at the back, though, can we? If Vertonghen's back, it's Rose that it hinges on, isn't it?
I think you could just tell. I don't know. Davis can do it.
I was going to make him fuck off. I'm kind of with you on both ones. Yeah. Really. I kind of want him to fuck off, but can he do a job before he fucks
off? I'm surprised
off?
You haven't called me up on my Davis love last week.
I don't do that, Dan.
You're a good man.
I am. I'm an honourable man.
Do you love Ben Davis?
I don't love him.
Sounds
like you love him.
I defended him last week.
Yeah, and now it's all come
tumbled.
Now
I'm like,
crumbled
ben,
around
ben
him.
Really let me down.
Yeah, no, it's good. But he's going to probably play all three games, isn't he? Or at least.
I mean, wouldn't you genuinely? I don't know if this is even a serious suggestion, but if Vertonghen's back for Stoke, wouldn't you rather see Davis in the three centre backs and Vertonghen at wing back?
At wing back, yeah, I'd do
that.
That
would be a lot sexier.
Be a lot of fun. Yeah. I think Vertonghen would even enjoy that. Didn't like left back.
Love it.
Yeah.
he loves it when he goes forward.
Yeah. Then
he shanks on wide and it's like, oh, go on. It's quite exciting that you got near. We've
Do you remember
good
when
time.
He used to score loads of goals for us, Vertonghen? That first season under AVB.
It was Bale, though, wasn't it? Bale was always involved somehow.
True. I looked at him, we've got this brilliant, attacking, exciting centre-back, which is weird.
It's a shame because before he was injured, he was back to that level. He was just missing the goals, and you sort of felt like one was coming. because he's playing that third centre-back role. And of the three, of Dyer, Alderweireld and him, Potch had obviously given him the sort of freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom of the pitch. And he was loving it. And yeah. I felt like a goal was coming before he turned his ankle. And that was such a shame, actually.
Yeah, we've been so unlucky, haven't we? They've all been that impact. Like, Kane was unlucky in that first, when he twisted his ankle in the turf.
But it'd been coming, hadn't it, for Kane? I mean, he stayed fit for 2 years when Spurs had no one else.
I guess, yeah. But I mean, right, yeah, I think, yeah, I suppose you're right, actually. Ghent on Thursday, Alex, are you feeling the Europa League? Do you feel, I don't feel it's that anticlimactic, considering how crap our group in the Champions League was and how crap we did it.
I don't really care for whoever it is. It's a European trophy. I desperately, desperately want to win the Europa League. We've been in it for so long now. It's a cold and dead embrace, but one that we can only shake off by lifting the trophy.
Yeah.
They're rubbish. Ghent. They're not even good in their league.
They're eighth in the Belgian league. Have you got some stats?
I've got some stats.
What did you get? Because I couldn't really. I do some stats work before.
Well, I mean, I say stats. I mean that
was on my podcast.
But no, I mean like yeah, yeah.
Five stats. I mean two, and that was one of them.
Oh, right.
But Ghent and Ghent are both in the same position their league.
I don't think a league table is a stat. A league position in the table.
It's interesting.
I mean, it's a number. It's not a statistic, is it? I suppose it is.
Yeah, it's literally a stat.
Yeah.
They came second in a group with Shakhtar, Braga and Konyaspor, and they scored 9 goals and had 13 against them. So
they didn't
not...
drop out, did they? They were in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So they're not a good side.
No. I thought, part of my research, I thought that they had Aleksandar Mitrovic's brother. And I spent a good half an hour at work trying to work out if they were, and it turns out they're not.
It's just another Mitrovic.
It's another Mitrovic. He really looks like him as well. He's a centre back, but it's not.
I love Mitrovic.
There's a Koulibaly as well that they've got, a striker called, I think it's Koulibaly, and I was like, is it? And it's not. It's not Al.
Is it what?
Al, old guy. We used to have a striker in the youth ranks called Koulibaly, I think.
Oh,
and he went to Suleiman. Scotland. Yeah, he went to Scotland and he scored a belter against Celtic and nothing else. But I thought maybe he'd cut his tyres and gone to Belgium. That wasn't him either. So there's not really that much I can say. They've lost their last game. They do a winter break, and they lost all 5 games in December. Then they had a winter break, and then they had a friendly, which they won 11-0.
Against the good team?
I don't know.
I mean, one. What team would you play on Thursday?
1-11.
Good, 1-11.
On Thursday, first leg, Lloris, Davis... Carter Vickers Dyer or Carter Vickers Alderweireld? Actually, I'd go Carter Vickers Alderweireld. I think we need to start looking at Carter Vickers as a proper squad member.
Head of Vim Dog.
Yeah, I think Vim is really done. Right back Trippier. So 4 at the back, and then I'd probably go Winks. I might even put Winks as a bit of a holding midfielder. I quite like him. It's sitting there, and then I'd be looking at Son, Sissoko, more of these. I don't know. You know, I don't.
Onoma?
Yeah, why not? I think it's about... This isn't one of the questions. Vinny? This is one of the top questions. Yeah, I think that... Well, look...
The team couldn't be a winning mentality.
Yeah, but the reason I ask this is because you were saying that, you know, you feel like Poch has really made up his mind about some of these players. But we said after the Wickham game that he may have done that, but there are a few things we need to remember is that it's a completely changed side. And I know I have just listed a completely changed side, but this is an opportunity for us to play people like Onoma with maybe Wanyama or just more established players to go, right, look, let's see what you can actually do when you're not surrounded by people that we're probably just going to off in the summer. Onoma might be one of those, but...
But I think that's what I'd do. I think I'd... if I was Pochettino, I'd be starting Walker and putting Trippier against Fulham.
Okay,
I'd be starting... Wanyama with Winks probably, and I'd probably be starting Eriksen.
Yeah,
and possibly even Son as well.
I'd put Son in definitely,
and I'd consider Kane as well.
Yeah, I'd put Kane in two of the three.
It depends. We don't know what's going on at Hotspur Way this week, but
well, you're supposed to.
I actually am supposed to.
That's a good. Yeah.
But I've been busy, mate.
No. That's fine. Don't worry.
Looking at DFS online, trying to find a sofa.
Get this bloody sofa mate, in.
Getting the sadness away.
Sofas are expensive.
Yeah, I know. Go IKEA, mate.
800 quid for one from DFS. I want one of those corner ones, though.
Oh, right.
I think that'll go where I'm living room.
Bloody hipster. Okay. What, there was something else that I was going to say. Marcus Edwards would be nice to see him at least.
It would be nice, wouldn't it, yeah.
At least get some... I'd love to see him get at least a half out of the next three games.
At least a half?
Yeah.
I'd be excited with 20 minutes.
Yeah, but enough to make an impact. Like, it'd be great to see him off the bench against Fulham, so...
Yeah, I think it would be great.
Let's just see.
And given the sort of paucity of quality on the bench, then why not?
Like, yeah, exactly.
There's not really any...
We've got fuck all
there's
on
our
bench.
There's not really much going on down there.
Yeah.
Sounds weird.
Yeah, I'm not going to isolate that bit. Well, we've got Fulham in the FA Cup on Sunday, isn't it? 2 o'clock kickoff. Bit of a weird potential banana skin, I think they say. It's been his first visit to Craven Cottage since a 2-1 win in December 2013. Name me the goal scorers of our win.
Lewis Holtby.
Correct.
So I was at that game.
We won 2-1.
Yeah.
In December 2013. AVB just before he was sacked.
Did Sandro score?
So you've got...
Was it Lewis Holtby or was it Vlad?
Yes, it was. Vlad Kirikez with an absolute belter. It was sort of like a daisy cutter.
Holtby's is pretty good as well. A curler from the edge of the box.
Holtby, arguably... I can't remember if this was actually happened, but I remember thinking in the weeks leading up to the end of the season, Fulham went down that year, and I remember thinking that if they could have gone down... with the exact amount of points that Lewis Holtby's goal for Spurs would have earned, like, had he not scored it, would have earned Fulham. Like, they nearly stayed up. If they'd have got a point out of that game against us, but Holtby scored the winner, and then they went down with him in
the
side.
So he relegated them.
Possibly, yeah. Spurs TV favourite, of course. Last FA Cup, well, I think we've said this last time, but the last time we went in the FA Cup, we lost 4-0. 4-0 down by half time. Do you know who scored one of those goals? It's a bit of a trivia question.
Clinton?
Not Clint Dempsey. Two for Danny Murphy, one for, I think it was Kasami, and then the last goal, so this was 2011.
Yeah.
It was right on half time. Midfielder, a Fulham midfielder, central midfielder.
Moussa Dembele,
correct. Yeah, got it right before half time. I think Dawson was sent off in the first half. It was an absolute shit show. I've got a little bit of stats on Fulham. They're averaging nearly two goals a game at home. Don't usually get a lot of goals in the first half. How important is a fast start for us? Do we need to put it to bed early doors?
Of course.
It's quite a loud place, isn't it, Craven Cottage?
No.
Do you think? No, I think whenever we seem to go there, they always seem to be quite up for it.
The fans are quite close to the pitch. And yeah. It's a decent atmosphere, but I wouldn't call it loud. It's quite... I feel at home there. It's quite middle class.
Very neutral, yeah. I like Fulham away as an away fan.
So good atmosphere, but quiet.
I'd say good not quiet, but you know, it's not like it's sort of buzzing. I can't really describe it. You're close.
You're close to the action.
Yeah, you're close to the action, and they do get singing, but I don't think it's sort of acoustically or people-ly.
It's got a neutral stand, isn't it? Which they've.
Well, it's basically, it's kind of like behind the goal.
Yeah, Spurs fans have been advised not to get tickets there.
Really?
Yeah, because we didn't
get... Every time Spurs played in the league, it was just Spurs fans at the cottage end with like one or two Fulham fans, season ticket holders sort of dotted around.
Mm. I always like that. I love a whole stand, an away stand, when it's the whole thing. Was it you that said it used to be at Selhurst Park when you played Wimbledon and you Spurs would take the entire stadium? I can't remember. Somebody said that once. Just before we move on, Fulham have got this young lad at left back called
Sessegnon.
He's 16, which I thought he was a little bit older than that, but he's ridiculous. 16, and he's already got about, I think he's got 8 starts and like 13 off the bench or something like that. They're talking about him being quite a nippy little wing back. We said after transfer window it would be nice to sort of sign him and loan him back, but a bit of an audition, do you think, maybe?
After a week in which Royston Drenthe, former left-back wonder kid, released an album and retired from football, I'm not going to make any claims or place any pressure on a 16-year-old wonder kid.
I am, fuck it.
Yeah, it's game. I'm up for that.
I remember I said on the transfer window pod, whenever that was, week before, that it was a bit of a... He's the kind of player that, you know, I'd like to have seen Spurs... try and sign, because I feel like it's almost like a risk-free signing. If you can get pay $5 million up front and a load of add-ons.
Mm. We did the same with Ali.
Yeah, we did the same with Ali. Look how well, you know, he's going to be the most expensive player ever when Spurs sell him.
When?
It's going to be when, isn't it?
Do you think? Is well, that a bit of I2K?
No, I don't know.
A bit of I2K, though.
No, it's not at all. But, yeah, I have barely seen him. I think I watched him once on the telly.
Yeah, I've not seen a single thing.
But from what I've heard, you know, he's quite good at football for a 16-year-old.
Yeah, what were you doing at 16?
Oh, God. I just don't even want to think about
it. I think I was working in a comic book shop.
Really?
Nerd!
Yeah. I can see your pyjamas from here and the state of your room, so yeah. I won't be called a nerd in this house.
Dan, I did spot an Animals of Farthing wood clock in your kitchen. That yours, or...?
Yes, it is.
Shall we do some listener questions? So we went out a little bit earlier. A lot of questions about bottling and stuff like that. Do you get a bit tired of the whole bottling talk, or do you... Is it... I'll ask the question. Like, is it a matter of just be patient, look at all the good things that we have done, or are we bottlers?
It's only bottling if you had it all sewn up and you should have won it, and you then, like, you know, you bottle it at the last minute. Yeah. We went to Anfield and were comprehensively beaten before half time. I don't think it was bottling it. When we've had so many injuries and stuff, and we're not playing a full-strength team against a full-strength Liverpool, they're really good at football.
Yeah,
we're
fair enough.
Usually really good at football.
Let me ask you, we've actually got a question from Jim at Stylish Right, who's one of the regulars on the pod, but to lead us into that, I'll ask this one first. Andy Perry, at AndyPerry79, do you think that we need a new captain, someone to take charge in games like Liverpool, City, United? I remember I questioned Lloris a little bit towards the end of last season when things fell apart a bit, particularly at Newcastle away. And I'm not all for changing captains for no reason, obviously. But I suppose there's a wider question. Are you happy with Lloris's captaining of Tottenham?
Yes.
Straight out, no questions.
Didn't hear the first bit because I got an email.
do you think that we need a new captain?
No, this is a cracking captain. What nonsense is this?
It's just somebody like, I don't think it's a attack necessarily, but I think there's a questioning of mentality.
I think
I don't like goalkeeper captains as
right,
well.
Right. Okay. There's people. If you don't like goalkeeper captains, then you're not going to like Lloris. I don't have a problem with it, and I think he's a really good captain. I think he's great to talk to after games, particularly after defeats. He's not very good. His sort of standard message after a win is, we need to not get carried away, which is a bit boring to write about.
Mm.
But after a defeat, he's really always really good. And always, like, someone described him this week as a kind of disappointed dad.
Yeah.
And he is perfect.
Mm.
He is a senior statesman in that squad. And I think in many respects, Kane is the kind of unofficial leader and unofficial spokesperson of the club and kind of the talisman of the club, the symbol of the club, Pochettino's love child or whatever. But Lloris is I think he's still the senior sort of statesman in that dressing room, and I think when he speaks, the players listen, the young players listen, they all look up to him. I think he's the best man for the job, and it's actually baffling that he didn't get it at the very start under Pochettino. The more I think about that,
it's still political.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely, he's eloquent, as Dan said, always speaks for, and he speaks very well about the club. The club has grown to his stature, because when he came, he's been through a lot. He's been through Jackie Friars and Sandro in the back four and Norton, and he put up with that. To take the captaincy off him would be absolutely absurd. They might not have, you know, we might have had a bad result. But
he was the best player in the back result.
Yeah.
But to question someone
is,
who
suppose, isn't he?
Calls out our players for not performing and being aggressive enough in games when they drop points, but is also, you know, praises them when they do, is what a captain's supposed to do. And also we see him and he's quite quiet and he's composed. But I'm sure, I don't know if you've seen that video of when he was playing in France and trashing a changing room and screaming quite angrily, I think it's at the players over, you know, half time.
Yeah.
I can imagine him doing
that, but then very apologetically picking up pieces and sort of apologising to the coach and giving him back the tea kind of.
Desolate.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I think he's top man.
Do you think maybe this is an English thing of, you know, we still look at the Roy Keynes and Gerrards and people like that that are Roy of the Rovers, drag you through the mud sort of thing. But there's a different class with Loris, isn't there, I suppose? And it's maybe just something we're not used to. Goalkeeper captains isn't a very English thing either, is it? English football
doesn't
see that.
No, it's quite a European
that.
Thing, though,
yeah.
isn't it?
So,
I can think of a few. Maybe certainly in Italy, there have always been a few.
Because
it tends to be the oldest player in the team, for obvious reasons. And the oldest player is often the most experienced, the one the players look up to. And I think
and he's often the goalkeeper, actually, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And with Loris, that's just definitely the case. I think Kane said this week that he'd like to be club captain one day. I'm sure he will be. Pochettino said that Ali could be a captain. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
last
I did
week,
see that.
It was quite interesting. It was completely unprompted. Someone asked him about leaders, and he just said, "Oh, I think Ali has." Without anyone mentioning Ali's name, he just said, "I think Ali has the qualities to be a leader one day."
And the banter.
Yeah,
mainly.
No, I think the Spurs
probably the humour.
Pochettino obviously picks young players who. Like Dyer and Ali, who he thinks can take on leadership roles.
We'll move on to Jim's question then. This is more specifically about the way that Loris plays. Should Hugo abandon the risky passes when it's clearly not working and hit it long? Dan, we've spoken about this before, and you have... This is one of the many subjects that you've given me a dressing down on.
Quite right.
Because I questioned this, and you did win me round, to be fair. You convinced me that it is the right things. But just in case anyone maybe didn't hear it last time we spoke about this, Loris's short passing game or risky passing game, you have examples of why he loves, or why Pochettino loves it. Just go through it again for us.
And what I've said is that I think it's a key tenet of Pochettino's philosophy to play that ball out from the back. And oddly, no one's ever made a big deal out of it in the media. But when Guardiola came to City, because he made an example of Hart and he made a big song and dance about getting Bravo in as a replacement, who's obviously been a terrible shot stopper, that became a big focus of Guardiola's team. But it's always been a big focus of Pochettino's team, but no one talks about it as much. He always wants Loris to play a short pass and build from the back. And listen to him, or when you read his press conference quotes, have a look out for it. And he'll say time and again, a key part of the philosophy is build from back, pressing, build from the back. And the idea that Loris is in some way panicking or not following instructions when he plays what looks like a risky pass or a silly pass or a dangerous pass to one of the defenders is completely opposite. He's panicking when he kicks it long to Kane. And it's frustrating sometimes because I feel like he'll play that pass and everyone will be shouting, you know, you hear someone shout, stop dicking around with it, you know, get out of the pitch. But actually, that's what he's been told to do and he's just following instructions. And I do think when he plays a pass into a defender who's got a man on them, as long as it's a good pass and it arrives at their feet, it's not his fault if they lose the ball. It's their fault. That is their job, to pick up the ball in a risky situation, draw in a couple of attackers, play another pass, and then suddenly the pitch is opened up. And that's what Pochettino wants. It's the way he wants his players to play. So, as long as Loris's distribution needs work, I say it needs work. I don't think it's really ever going to get better.
No,
it is what it is, and it's not perfect. But I just don't have any problem. As it happened at City a couple of times, happened at Anfield, where he's played a pass and the defenders panicked and lost it. Their fault, not his fault. And he's got to keep doing it.
It's a bit hot potato, but I quite... That's why he convinces me,
Alex. That's the way I see it, because the idea is that you eventually get to that level that Barca had when they won the treble under Guardiola, when literally, if you look at some of their moves, is astonishing. It will start with the keeper, who is Valdez, and the two centre-halves will split so that they're on almost by the corner flags. The two full-backs will push up so they're almost on the halfway line, and there's just this huge space in the centre of the pitch where the opposition can just do what they like. And Valdez will play short, the opposition will be drawn out, and then it's on the fullbacks to play, on the centre backs to play the ball forward, and it's risky, but it worked for Barca, and that's Pochettino is trying to do a similar thing. And as soon as we think the ball's not on and Lloris is just booting it, is when things are breaking down, not when things are going well.
Are you convinced, Alex? Did you need convincing? How do you?
I didn't need convincing, but I would say that I think about it whenever you're playing FIFA or Pro Evo, with the keeper, you always do a short pass with the keeper. No one ever goes long because the keeper's good enough on the computer game. I wouldn't do it in real life because I'm not good enough, but Hugo is. Just because it goes out occasionally doesn't mean there's not a system and an ability behind it. It's fundamental to the way we play. It usually goes to Wanyama, who turns, brings in two players towards him, which then creates space for everyone around him. I think it's a fundamental part.
Especially if you've got someone like Dembele and Walker and Rose, who are dynamic footballers, it's generally where the ball ends up. And Alderweireld, who's got an incredible pass on him as well. Like, if Lloris isn't good with his feet, he's got a centre back directly in front of him who he can give it to, who is really good with the ball.
It's not as if Tottenham don't go long. I think there was a stat from a month ago that Spurs have played as many long balls as anyone in the league.
Is that right? But that's probably not Lloris.
But it's not Lloris. Yeah. It's Alderweireld, because as you said, he's great at switching the play, and he does that diagonal with Dele. And the Spurs aren't afraid to do a long pass, but it's not the one from the keeper isn't the one.
Well, there you go, Jim. That's you told.
Owned.
I do have to say, I can't believe we went from a really kind of detailed tactical insight into what you've heard from your time at Hotspur Way and listening to Pochettino over so many weeks and the last year or so at ESPN, and then we went to Alex, who cited two computer games as the reason for you're looking at me how fucking dare you.
I thought we've probably had enough.
I think you're flattering me, to be honest. I'm talking mainly bollocks.
It was for comedic effect.
Right,
As ever. Okay. Well, there you go, Jim. That is pretty much it. I think we've covered everything. I feel a little bit better. It's quite cathartic, this, I feel, after games. It's not often that we do lose, but I do feel this is like therapy after defeats like that. Do you agree?
Yes.
Broadly. I felt better when we left the Europa League.
That's true, yeah. Very true.
Okay,
well, thank you very much for joining us. Alex, where can we read your stuff and hear your voice in a professional capacity, not around at garden furniture in Dan's bedroom?
You can find me on Twitter at Alex Brown, and I'm just sporadically on TalkSport.
You advertise it, you tweet, don't you, when you're going to be
on. Oh, yeah.
Look out for that if you're ever awake between.
Turn notifications on, it'll be worth it. 1 till 6 a.m, I mean, what else would you do?
Can you listen to it on catch-up?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, I have to admit, I haven't listened yet, but I think I'm going to have to, because I'd like to get an idea of what it's like. And then obviously when the call does come from TalkSport, for me and Dan, we'll know what's expected of us.
I had to do a rap about Bournemouth, so I mean, it's not always.
Oh,
good.
Windy asked you to spit some bars, actually, in the questions today. Is it going to happen?
It wasn't. I did it, and they said, at the time, you've got to do this, and we're going to do it in like 15 minutes for the feature. So I'd have to write some rhymes, middle class spoken word. It was not good.
That's what this podcast is all about, mate. Thanks very much for joining us, Alex. Dan, as ever, very nice to see you, and thanks very much for your quite insightful views. You are comfortable.
What a lovely surprise.
You are comfortable in your own flat.
I'm playing
at
home.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I have to do this a bit more regularly, I think.
I hope not. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just tweeted a picture of it if anyone wants to see the setup.
There you go. Look at is it Dan KP or Tottenham Way? Look at the Tottenham Way Twitter account. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Thank you very much for joining us, listeners. We'll see you next week for a bit of a cup special, wouldn't it? Ghent and Fulham.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.